Glory be to God. Sisters and brothers, bonjour. Oh, that's very encouraging. Now I can preach in French. Are we ready? Oh, I'm so glad to be here. You are wonderful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I came here first to say thank you. Thank you for allowing Mark and Dan to come to Cameroon, to spend time with us, to teach our leaders, not only from Cameroon, but from a variety of French-speaking nations all over Africa. And they actually showed us so much, and they gave us so much. They have deep love for the Lord. They're really compassionate. They're full of wisdom. They're outstanding leaders. You're fortunate to have such a good group of leaders. Praise the Lord. And thank you for sharing them. And there's also another way to thank you, another reason to thank you. We received a Christmas gift. You gave a car to the ministry in Cameroon. We'll never forget that. You are unforgettable. And by doing this, you don't know what you're really accomplishing, but you're accomplishing far more than giving a car. This car is on our field, the very field where Dr. Mitchell was for the groundbreaking ceremony. And we have started a Moringa farm. Do you know Moringa, the Moringa plant? Maybe some may know. It's a wonderful plant. Google it, research it, Moringa. It is a wonderful plant. Good for your health, good for you. And so we're training people. Now, this university is located in the most populated county of Cameroon, located in the most populated region of Cameroon, but it is also the poorest. There's no other college or university beside ours. And so we think, how do we deal with poverty? How do we take the knowledge at university level, bring it down to the farmers, and help them to learn skills that will help them get out of poverty? And Moringa is one of our first solutions. So we train people to grow the Moringa tree, and the leaves are very nutritious, very good for health, and the seeds have also medicinal values. And so we train people, and then they can eat the leaves, sell the leaves, and get extra cash and find their way out of poverty. So by supporting us, you're supporting a movement of transformation. And thank you for doing that. And when I see all the things that you're doing, when I hear about Love Works 365, when I hear about Bags of Love, when I hear about compassion, I say, wow, they have already preached my message. So I better go and sit down. But because I'm already up here, it would be a shame. So let me say a little word of encouragement. So let us then go right into our topic and read the text that we have for today. Mark chapter 1, verse 40-45. This is our text for today. Mark 1:40-45. It is written, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I believe you have a message for each one of us today. So speak to us, Lord. We are ready to listen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Touching the untouchables. This is the topic of our sermon today. Touching the untouchables. We know something about the untouchables. You have taken a world religions class. You learned about Hinduism. You heard about the Dalits and the untouchables, the lower caste, isolated. But I would like us to travel back in time and go to the Old Testament times and look at the condition of another group of untouchables, people with leprosy. People with leprosy. And I would like to invite us to read two other texts. The first one is in Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. I will read verse 45 and 46. It is written, "Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. Let their hair be unkempt. Cover the lower part of their face and cry out, 'Unclean! Unclean!' As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp." Wow. That was a difficult condition. Live alone. You're already suffering. And instead of getting the support from the community, you're living alone. You must live outside the camp. No connection with the religious community. No connection with the community at large. And the second text is in Numbers, chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. It is written, "Command the Israelites to send away from the camp anyone who has a defiling skin disease or a discharge of any kind or who is ceremonially unclean because of a dead body. Send away male and female alike. Send them outside the camp so they will not defile the camp while I dwell among them." The Israelites did so. They sent them outside the camp. They did just as the Lord has instructed Moses. Male and female alike. And so with this in mind, let us look at our text today. The two verses we read in the Old Testament gives us an idea of the condition of people with leprosy. Let us look at some of the conditions in order to better understand our text. Physically, they were in bad shape. Actually, the word leprosy is applied to skin diseases as well in the Bible. So it goes from minor condition to a very, very bad condition. Maybe you have not seen someone who has lost fingers or who have lost the hand altogether. Disformed with deformity because of leprosy. I have seen that in Africa. It is not an easy condition to be in. And back then there was no cure, no solution to the problem. What was happening to their religious condition? They were rejected because, actually, it's interesting that the word used in Hebrew and translated in English by leprosy has an interesting meaning. It really means judged by God. And so you have, religiously, they were considered as people who are judged by God. They're in that condition because they have sinned. Or their parents have sinned. And so they rejected. They were not welcomed into the temple. They were not welcomed into the synagogue. They were really excluded from the religious community. What about their social condition? They were isolated, no communication, no family, no relationship with healthy people. Stigma was their daily cup. Rejection. That was the condition in which they lived socially. And that affected their economic condition as well. They could not have a job because nobody would hire someone with leprosy. No business because nobody would do business with someone with leprosy. They were reduced to charity, hunger, poverty, misery. And that affected their psychological condition as well. Psychologically, they were full of guilt, low self-esteem, worthlessness. As Flavius Joseph, a historian, summed up, the condition of people with leprosy did not differ from the condition of dead people. So they were like walking dead people. That was the condition of people with leprosy. And in that condition, in our text, we have one of them coming to Jesus. It's interesting to look at this man. I like him. He has so many qualities. Of course, he was not perfect, as we'll see at the end. But he displayed courage. Isn't that interesting? Normally, because of his condition, he should have kept a good distance between him and the Lord. He was not allowed to get closer to people. But he was courageous enough to say, enough is enough. I see the Lord. I want to approach him. He was courageous enough to face the hostility of the crowd. He was courageous enough to confront obstacles. He was a courageous man, full of courage, but also full of humility. It's interesting that in this text, he didn't use the term Lord. But in parallel text, he calls the Lord, Lord. And so in this text, instead of saying Lord, he just knelt down and begged. By kneeling down, he was recognizing the lordship of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? And so he displayed humility. He did not hide behind an empty pride. He humbled himself before the Lord of Lords, and God elevated him. Like him, let us learn to humble ourselves so that we get God's blessings. And then we notice a hesitation here. He was full of faith, don't get me wrong. Because he says, if you want, you can. There is no doubt about the power of the Lord, but is it his will? That's where we see the hesitation. If you want, you can. And then we see a lot of wisdom in this man. Notice first, he contacted and trusted the right person. He didn't go to a fellow man with leprosy. He didn't go to a wealthy man. He didn't go to drink too much alcohol to forget about his condition or go to drug. He knocked at the right door. He went to the right person. He went to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is wisdom. Knowing to go to the right person at the right time. And not only did he go to the right person at the right time, he asked for the right thing. Because you can go to the right person and ask for the wrong thing. Maybe you wonder, why did Jesus ask Bartimaeus, what do you want? He was a blind man. Wasn't it obvious that he wanted to see? No, no, no. A beggar could ask for food. A beggar could ask for money. You remember Peter and John and the lame man in the temple. He was begging for money. And Peter said, we don't have money, we don't have gold, but this we can do. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And so he could ask for many things. He could say, oh, I need new clothes, Jesus. Oh, I need money, Jesus. You know what? I need a house, Jesus. I'm tired to sleep out, you know. Jesus, I want to be famous. No, he asked for the right thing. I want to be cleansed. Cleanse me, Lord. That is wisdom. Knowing to ask the right thing to the right person at the right time. And how did the Lord react? It's puzzling that we read in verse 41, Jesus was indignant. Now, this is puzzling to many scholars. What does it mean? Here is someone who comes with all this courage and humility and hesitation and wisdom, and Jesus was indignant? No, it is not in a negative sense. That's why some versions translate, Jesus was full of compassion. Actually, Jesus was not indignant against the man with leprosy. He was indignant against the leprosy itself. Because that's one of the consequences of sin. We have seen that why diseases came into our universe. And he was indignant against the condition in which leprosy is putting people. He was indignant against the lack of sensitivity from the community. Yes, Jesus was full of compassion. And to make it clear, he touched the man with leprosy. Now, Jesus didn't have to touch him. He could heal at a distance. You remember in many occasions in the Bible, he did that without even seeing the person. He just said, okay, your servant is fine. Go home. And that's it. So he could heal without even touching, but he touched the leper. And this is the part I like the most in this text. He touched the person who is untouchable. He touched the person who would put him at risk. Because someone who touches somebody who is impure would also be impure. But he did that. He did that because he's showing clearly that he's not afraid of leprosy. He's not afraid of criticism when he does the right thing. He's not afraid to identify himself with the leper. Since compassion means literally to suffer together. Jesus suffered together with that man of leprosy. That man with leprosy. It's amazing. It's amazing to see that Jesus wants to identify with us. And we see that in a variety of other texts. But let me focus a little bit more on that man. I would love, if I were there, to transform myself into a journalist and go to him with a mic and ask, how do you feel now that Jesus touched you? I'm sure he would say, man, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that the Lord touched me. My dad didn't touch me for 20 years, but Jesus touched me. My mother didn't touch me for 20 years, but Jesus touched me. My neighbor didn't even dare to look at me in the eyes, but Jesus touched me. He would be going around shouting, even without healing, he would have a story to tell. But Jesus did not only touch him, he healed him. He healed him. Yes, the Lord healed him. And it is interesting that the healing is not only physical here. Because looking back to the context, by healing him, Jesus changed his physical condition, right? But he also changed his religious condition. Now he could go to the temple. Now he could go to the synagogue. Now he could join other people in fellowship. And no more stigma. And also he was healed socially. He could go back home. Imagine if he had children and had to leave them because of poverty. Imagine the tears of joy of the kids looking at their daddy coming back home after so many years. Daddy's home at last. Daddy's home at last. Yeah, he changed his social condition. He changed his economic condition. Now he could go and get a job. Now he could go and work in his farm. Now he could go and even start a business and employ people. Wow, Jesus changed all his life. Jesus brought him from death to life. That is how deep that healing, that simple touch is. And so, but look at the paradox. I would briefly mention the paradox here. Jesus, who could go freely into the city, was rejected. But the man with leprosy, who was rejected by the city now could go freely in. This is the paradox of the text. But this is what Jesus does. He came down from heaven so that we can get up to heaven. He died on the cross so that we can live eternally. He gave his very life so that we can be enriched in him. Jesus is doing the same thing again today. And I'm sure that in this room, we have people who have been touched by the love and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have people who could say, I was addicted, but Jesus delivered me. I was sad, but now I'm full of joy because of Christ. I was hopeless, now I have hope because of Jesus. I was really living in the prison of my sins, but now I'm free because of Jesus. I'm sure many in this room could say that. Didn't you see any transformation in your lives? Can you raise your hand if you saw anything in your life? Praise the Lord. Jesus is wonderful. And you know what? The sad thing is that sin is still devastating today. Sin is still ruining lives today. Sin is the leprosy of our time. And sin is deadly. Because all who sin are dead spiritually. They need life. And that life is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need transformation. And that transformation can only happen if Jesus comes into their lives. If we look at the unreached people groups today, it is 2015, but there are 484 people on earth who are Buddhist. 484 million people Buddhist. 662 million people following ethnic traditions. 1 billion Hindus. 1.6 billion Muslims. 974 million non-religious. 97 practicing other religions. And 7 million don't know where they are. And so there are many among them who have a variety of problems. And as we watch in the video at the beginning of this message, are you willing to make their problems your problem? Let us launch a movement of compassion for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do we feel when we see non-Christians around us? What do we feel when we look at the children growing in abject poverty and forced to join the army of rebels or terrorists at sometimes only 4 to 10 years old? What do we feel when we look at those who are voluntarily or involuntarily rejected by people around us? How do we touch them with the love and compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, let us launch a movement of compassion. And in conclusion, I would like to invite us to let compassion move the hands of our love so that we bring hope to those who are in the midst of suffering. Let the feet of your love lead you closer to those who are rejected. Go and welcome the isolated. Go and shout for the voiceless. Go and love the unlovable. Go and comfort the afflicted. Go and feed the starving. Go and help the helpless. Go and change the condition of children. Go and bring hope to the hopeless. Go and cry for those who no longer have tears. Go and touch the untouchable like Jesus. And remember, the Lord who is sending you is going with you. God bless you. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you because you loved us so much. We're so glad, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for transforming our lives. And Lord, we don't want to keep this joy for us. We want to go and share it. Help us, Lord, as you promised. Let us be channels of blessings for people around us, for your glory, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.